Up to this point on today's program, we focused on state and local issues, but we turn now to international news. And last Friday marked the one-year anniversary of the Marikana mine massacre, in which South African police fatally shot 34 striking workers at the Lonmin Corporation's platinum mine in Marikana. University of Johannesburg sociology professor Peter Alexander says that massacre was a political turning point for South Africa because it inspired defections from the formerly dominant National Union of Mine Workers, as well as widespread disaffection for the ruling African National Congress political party. Before orders were given to the South African military police, Alexander said, Lonmin Corporation board member Cyril Ramaphosa sent an email to the government's Minister of Mines arguing that the striking mine workers were actually criminals occupying Lonmin's property. Despite playing that role in the run-up to the massacre, Ramaphosa has since been elected deputy vice president of the ANC and is therefore likely to succeed Jacob Zuma as South Africa's next president. KPFA News reporter Ann Garrison spoke to Professor Peter Alexander.
Peter Alexander said that Friday's memorial was attended by most all the Marikana platinum miners and by many from the other platinum mines in the region, including those employed by Anglo-American Platinum, the world's largest platinum mining corporation. Much of South African civil society, including the South African Council of Churches and the Marikana Solidarity Committee, sent representatives, but the majority African National Congress, or ANC party, and the formerly dominant National Union of Mine Workers were conspicuously absent. One consequence of the massacre, Alexander said, was widespread defection from the National Union of Mine Workers, which is traditionally aligned with the ANC.
The union that's grown very rapidly after that is this Association of Mine Workers and Construction Union, ANCU. And so ANCU is now the union for mine workers in the platinum belt, and it's growing very rapidly in the gold mines as well. It's grown from a membership of about 30,000 18 months ago to about 150,000 today. So its growth is related to the militancy in the mining industry and to the perceived failure of the traditional union, the National Union of Mine Workers, to adequately represent the interests of mine workers. Norms has been seen to be too close to the employers, been seen to be corrupt and ineffective in responding to the workers' demands for higher pay. And this has political significance because the National Union of Mine Workers was the largest union within the Congress of South African Trade Unions, which is associated with the governing alliance, the ANC's alliance.
The ANC is in denial, he said, about its role in the Marikana massacre.
The problem that the ANC has is that it's really in a kind of phase of denial. It's not willing to face up to the fact that it was essentially involved, the government was centrally involved in what happened a year ago. The South African police is answerable to the government, and we know that the Minister of Police, a man named Nathi Mtetwa, was fully aware of the plans that were going ahead in Marikana. And we also know from emails written by Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa, who was once upon a time the General Secretary of NUM and then became the Secretary General of the African National Congress, was narrowly defeated before the Deputy President of the ANC, and so would have become probably at that stage the next President of the country. And more recently, since Marikana, was elected as Deputy President of the African National Congress, and is the most likely person to succeed Jacob Zuma as President. Now, what's significant is that Cyril Ramaphosa wrote a number of emails, mostly on the 15th of August last year, the day before the massacre, in which he was clearly involved in trying to win support on behalf of Lonmin, and he was a director of Lonmin, trying to win support for the idea that what was happening at Marikana wasn't a labour dispute, it was a criminal activity. Mine workers on strike were criminals. They were occupying a space, a small mountain, and that they were involved in unprotected strike action. And according to his email, he spoke to Susan Chibangu, who was the Minister of Mines, and she says that she accepted his argument that it was a criminal activity by the mine workers, and that she would discuss this with the cabinet, and she would brief the president, Jacob Zuma, and she would ask the Minister of Police to take action.
Alexander also said that Maracana was without doubt a turning point.
This is a turning point in South African history. It does have a significance in some ways similar to things like Soweto and Sharpeville and then going back to the Rand Revolt of 1922. But it's also different. After the Rand Revolt, there were significant changes in labour legislation. It's difficult to see how alteration the labour legislation will be sufficient to deal with the issues that have arisen following Maracana, because what Maracana shows is something much broader in terms of the character of South African society, and in particular, massive inequality. That's not going to be addressed simply through legislation. It has to be addressed by far more significant changes in the political economy of South Africa.
That was University of Johannesburg professor Peter Alexander, who is also the co-author of An Investigation into the Maracana Miners Massacre, a book titled Maracana, View from the Mountain, and A Case to Answer, which has been republished in this country as Voices from Maracana. For Pacifica, KPFA, and Afrobeat Radio, I'm Anne Garrison.